So I'm visiting family this weekend, and I won't say more than that, other than that I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. And I believe this may be the second or third time in my life I've been in Atlanta. The other time was probably a long time ago, a short stint on my way to Fort Benning. And then back in 2006. And if I don't sound excited about Atlanta, it's got nothing to do with Atlanta. It's just family stuff is complicated in general. I'll just leave it there. But while I was having a conversation last night with someone who shall be not named, unnamed, remain anonymous, whatever, I was thinking about my experiences when I worked at the University of Washington Medical Center and also a little bit indirectly around the Seattle Cancer Care Alliance. And the things that I saw, which means the researchers and the agendas and the priorities. In June of 2010, I was hired by the University of Washington Medical Center to be essentially a report developer, analyst, SQL programmer, whatever you want to call it, on their Microsoft Imalga implementation project. Now, today, it isn't Microsoft Imalga, it's called Caradigm Imalga. Probably because Microsoft was sick of having its name connected to that piece of shit software. I'm not going to go off on Imalga because, if you type the word into my blog, you can find lots of stuff regarding it, including notes regarding its performance. And I also have to tell you that while I was there, I was exposed to a system developed by Harvard called I2B2. And for different reasons, it was kind of an equally terrible system. I mean, I2B2, at least the version I was exposed to in the spring of 2011, was essentially, well, anyways, it would, for example, it would implement tree structures as essentially paths in tables. It would close query results by executing a query and then pulling another SQL, pulling another SQL structure, actually another query from the very same table that they would then execute. So in essence, they would execute queries that would jump around the table structure, pulling back SQL that then they would also execute. It's for people who know how to program SQL, it's like a daisy chain of SQL calls, SQL calling tables that contain SQL statements calling tables. It is some of the nastiest fucking code I ever saw in my life, and I have no doubt that some of the smartest people, well, no, excuse me, some of the douchiest people in academia, at least in IT, were involved in it because it's just a terrible piece of shit, really, I2B2, the version I saw. Maybe it's better today, but in terms of its data structure and its performance, it was terrible. Now, it had a UI that wasn't horrible. It kind of gave researchers a set theory experience when doing things. And according to their one of its designers of its anonymization algorithm, Dr. Nick Anderson or something, according to that douche, they fuzzified results at the small scale, which was great because it kind of invalidated the power of logic. But anyways, it was a shitty system. Imalga was a shitty system. I2B2 was a shitty system. They might both be better systems today, but we live in a really crony economy, so I don't know that that's the case. I'm thinking about those things because I was thinking yesterday about my stubbornness, my own, I don't know, bullheadedness, pigheadedness. I am a person who can be driven by his values at time, and sometimes I think, in fairness, even in kind of a, Don Quixote kind of way, a quixotic way, right? I think there is a quixotic aspect sometimes to the way that I do things. I'm not ashamed of who I am. I have values and principles, but I also know that if I had kids, for example, if I and my sex wife, my God, that's another Freudian slip, my sex wife. If I and my ex-wife had had a kid, I don't think I would have left the University of Washington. I think I'd still be working there today. It's simply the case that barring anyone else in your life that's really dependent upon you, you're left with a lot of choices, more choices, actually. Not good, not bad, just different. So yeah, I was thinking about that situation. And in the spring, I will tell you, in the spring of 2011, I actually contacted a reporter at the Seattle Times. I forget this woman's name, partly because she was not helpful. She's sort of on their technology desk. But anyways, I contacted this woman at the Seattle Times, and at first, she seemed like she was interested and actually wanted to do some investigative journalism and not just be a propagandist. But honestly, I have a hard time judging journalists these days. You don't get a job unless you're a propagandist. So, you know. But then I was kind of upset. It's like, here's the situation. A lot of money was spent on Microsoft Amalga, but it had performance features back then, and I think it probably does today because I just don't believe it's probably improved by much, but maybe it has. It had performance features that made it quite terrible for immediate reporting. Like, for example, and I think there are some people in the hospital world who understand this, like, for example, infectious disease reporting. Now, you might say, Dan, why does it matter how quickly an infectious disease report gets produced? Like, why would it matter if it took longer than 24 hours to produce an accurate infectious disease report because of the performance limitations of Microsoft Amalga's terrible design? Well, here's the reason why. These reports have to go out at least every morning. Arguably, a properly designed system would be able to send out a report like this every hour, but Amalga was not. And these reports tell a nurse, a doctor, these reports tell health professionals if someone had MRSA in a room or if someone had another kind of dangerous hospital-acquired infection. Now, you might say, well, Dan, why does that matter? Well, it kind of matters because I don't know what the numbers are today, but back then they said somewhere around 100,000 people died every year in pretty much just because they go to the hospital. And most of those die from a hospital-acquired infection. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal. If it's your mom, your dad, your grandmother, your grandfather, and they get put into a room where someone the day before had had aggressive MRSA and your loved one dies, it may not seem like that kind of thing could result from an IT failure, but actually in this context it can. Well, anyways, Amalga had some issues about being able to produce this report. And essentially, the department I was in kept a lot of this shit hush-hush. It was like, yeah, you know what? It's no big deal. Nobody died. Or at least I have no evidence that anyone died. And the thing is, from these guys' perspective, from these jokers' perspective, as long as nobody died, everything's okay. Which, yeah, in the wide-ranging existence of life, that might be true. And who knows? I don't know what's happened since I've been gone. But I have no evidence that anyone died. I can tell you there was a potential harm for harm, and nobody gave a shit, pretty much. In fact, people were pissed off that I gave a shit. And that's the truth. Now, am I always the most diplomatic person in the world? No. Is this the worst example of crony capitalism in the last decade? Probably not. But it was crony. I don't think there was any competition for that particular meaningful use of money. In fact, I think if you were to research it, you would find that that money was probably almost earmarked for Microsoft. But nobody wants to do that investigation because this particular reporter, and this is a part of the story that you need to understand, this particular reporter worked for the Seattle Times, and essentially Microsoft threatened to sue them a few weeks after this reporter simply put in a request for public records. That's all. And the really horrific thing is that ever since that time, I have told Microsoft recruiters, essentially every time a recruiter picks up the phone, I say, please go fuck yourself. And I think, okay, Dan, if you tell them to go fuck themselves enough, if you tell Microsoft recruiters and those associated with Microsoft to go fuck themselves enough, maybe the word will spread, that, yeah, you know, Dan need not be called. Leave him the fuck alone. He does not want to work for Microsoft. But the truth is, they kept calling, and a lot of the work that's left in Seattle is being an orange badge for Microsoft. And I say orange badge because that means contractor. And that's most of what works for Microsoft now, is contractors. Anywho, people should have their values. I believe, you know, people should live a life, not of mindfulness, because I think that's a fucking scheme. I think people should live a life of understanding, or at least attempt to understand the world around them. And part of that understanding, not mindfulness, is being able to understand and ask questions, and even to discuss ethical issues, which frankly, I don't think people are almost less equipped now to have ethical conversations, especially in business, than they are to use logic, which is pretty fucking rare too. So yeah, I do expect people, I want humans to ask ethical questions in their daily life, especially in their workplace. What I encounter mostly are zombies.